Holy crap. I think I just recorded one of my all-time favorite conversations for the podcast. But here's where it came about. So a couple months ago, I was playing a show in not Northeast Minneapolis, but the Stone Arch Bridge, St. Anthony, Maine area of Minneapolis. And we had set up, we sound checked, and I had a ton of time to kill before we had to start playing. It was a later show. And so I did what any sane human being does when you get time to kill before playing, you find the closest beer tasting. So actually, Sarah had hit me up and she said, hey, if you're not doing anything between now and then, meet me over at Surtix, which is one of my favorite liquor stores in the Twin Cities. Meet me over there. They're doing a really cool wine tasting. And I think it was like German wine that they were diving into. So I met up with her, tasted some wine. We were about to leave and we walked past a table doing a tasting from one of my favorite breweries in Minnesota. Okay, actually, let me take that back. I would say that Summit Brewery is one of, or actually the technical term is Summit Brewing Company. Summit Brewing Company is, I would say, one of my top three, if not two or one. I'm going to have to think on this. Dive into really solidifying their ranking. What is this bullshit? Why am I doing this? They're one of my all-time favorite breweries. They're located in St. Paul, Minnesota, and they had a table there at the tasting. And there's a skill, by the way. If you are someone that enjoys beers, wines, whiskeys, you like going to tastings, trying new things, trying things you've had before, there's a skill that you need to perfect. And that skill is learning how to pretend like you've never heard of something you've tasted a million times. Oh, Summit Brewing. I guess you're based out of Minnesota, right? I guess I give you a try for the first time. No, I went up. I was like, okay, I love you guys. I've tried all your beer. And the guy that was running the tasting, his name was Scott Rentera. And he goes, whoa, wait a second. We're actually releasing something right now. And it's our new line of non-alcoholic beers. I tried it. I'm not a big non-alcoholic beer fan, not because I'm drinking beer for the alcohol, but because the taste of it, you lose something in the process of stripping the alcohol. If you're interested in diving into that a little bit more, the episode is called I'll Take One of Your Finest Beerless Beers, Please. Or just go to the website, thecuriouspod.com, and just type in Summit in the episodes list, and it'll be one of the first ones to come up. So I was a little apprehensive, but I tried it, and it was one of the best. Actually, I'll say it behind Heineken. Heineken has, I think, the best non-alcoholic beer out there, specifically because it is, out of all the non-alcoholic beers I've tried, it is the closest to the original thing. So that, like, Guinness 0.0 we should be calling it Guinness. It's a totally different beer, which is fine. It's good. I would drink it, but it's just not the same. You're not getting when you expect something close. Heineken does that. Summit's beer, in my mind, they revolutionized how I think about non-alcoholic beer. They spent millions of dollars on coming up with a process to brew it and have like this product instead of distilling the beer. All right, just listen to the episode if you're curious about that. But we got to talk and I was like, I did, once again, what any sane person does when you're out in public meeting someone for the first time, trying something tasty. I said, we need to stop what we're doing and record a podcast episode. So we recorded that podcast. I put it up and the next day Summit reached out to me and they go, man, we love this. Would you ever be interested in talking to our head brewer, Damien McCann? He's from Ireland and he is a ton of fun to talk to. He's brilliant. Now, I'm going to throw him under the bus. Summit, you didn't fully explain just how freaking enjoyable it is to have a conversation with Damien and how brilliant he is with anything brewing. So whether that's beer or distillation, the guy's a freaking genius. And we had a total blast of a talk at the Dubliner Irish Pub. And so we did this yesterday. It's just a few days past St. Patrick's Day. And the conversation went all over the place. But today, I want to give you a sneak peek at part of that conversation. This is a really interesting topic, I thought, when I learned that Summit has just turned 40. So Summit, in my mind, I'm like, oh, okay, they're a middle-aged brewery. And they came into existence paving the way for craft beer. We would not have craft beer in the Midwest like it is today if it wasn't for Summit Brewing. And So I thought I would ask them this question. Hey, I wonder if you, as a middle-aged brewery, have any insight or thoughts. Like, what are you thinking about right now in your creative process when it pertains to the beer you're putting out there? And is there any way that could have any correlation to myself and my friends who are reaching middle age as musicians, as the things we're thinking about? I wonder if they can make some connection there. So this is a small part of that conversation that I figured you'd enjoy. I'm thinking tomorrow that the full episode will come out. This is part of my conversation with Damien McCann at the Dubliner Irish Pub in St. Paul. So Summit is about 40, right? And I'm thinking about the conversations. I'm 38, and I'm thinking about the conversations I've been having with my 38, 40, almost 40-year-old musician friends. And a lot of them are badass players who paved the way musically. They came in part of the change of the sound, which is making me think about beers and brewing, like the change of people drinking more porters,
right,
whatever.
Right.
They're paid, and when I think about Summit, the phrase that comes to mind all the time is like paving the way. Really, craft beer, especially in Minnesota, would not be the same without it.
Yeah, that's very true.
But so the problem, a lot of the conversations now reaching middle age as a musician are this balance between of who you are, like this is what I do, this is my sound, this is what I like, and things are changing around you. So this middle-aged musician is a tricky thing to balance between the what I do and what's requested of me, because that's what people know of me, and what I could do or want to do. That balance between essentially what I would compare to a brewery is like doing something different versus the consistency of what people have come to expect of you. Is that a conversation that exists within Summit at all right
now? It does, and it's a tricky balancing act.
Yeah.
Because I can't release 5-6 dozen new beers a year, right?
100%.
And I don't want to.
Yeah.
B, it doesn't make any sense for a brewery like Summit to do that.
Because all these younger breweries are doing that, and it's just like, well, I can't come here and get the same thing I loved. Reason, because you're just changing and trying to, like, it's almost a desperation to sometimes.
And Guinness can't do it either. They're not releasing dozens of new beers a year.
Yeah. And that's fair. Yeah,
so
that's true.
It is a balancing act between offering something. Thanks, Les.
Thank you.
Offering something new and different.
Yeah.
And also adhering and maintaining the Sláinte, by the way. The values and qualities that have gotten the brewery to that place, you know, in the first place. And what at Summit, what we try to do is, rather than a shotgun approach where you're trying to release numerous new beers all the time, which is not sustainable, we try to really dig into what works for the brewery in terms of stylistic guidelines, and also what is going on in the marketplace, what people are asking for, what people are interested in.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of balance, I think it allows us to play around with maybe some new ingredients, some new styles, to explore some new approaches to different beers.
Yeah.
But also it allows us to maintain our footprint and maintain that kind of that safe harbor, if you will, for people when it comes to quality and consistency.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I love about Summit is that we have good distribution. Right? You can go to a lot of pubs all over the state of Minnesota and you can find Summit Extra Pale Ale. You might not be able to find a whole lot of, you know, other beers with more character, shall we say, in some of these places.
Yeah.
But that, to me, is the safe harbor. That's the quality option that I know Summit EPA really well. It's a high-quality beer. It's been around. It's tried. Yeah. It's trusted.
Yeah.
It's made by people who care.
Yeah.
And I can find it in, you know, northern Minnesota in a small pub in the middle of nowhere. I can find it on the border with Iowa.
Yeah.
And that's really important for us, because that visibility is important, but that choice of quality for the consumer is important. So if they don't want to drink Bud Miller Coors, and they want something with a wee bit more character, they can find some Extra Pale Ale. But also,
you're so polite, and I understand you can't. This man might have like the total shit beer that is again. But it's like totally
rather underwhelming in terms of its flavor profile.
100%. But again, as I mean, as someone who's, I've played all over Minnesota, the 20 years I've been here, and I've, like, the corners of it, you're totally right. Like, I can go into a tiny local bar, I'm going to find some EPA on tap and yep. know, okay, I can get a good pint here.
Exactly, a good pint, yeah. A fair pint at a fair price. And we like to come out with new beers. We like to play around with new and experimental ingredients.
Yeah.
The key is to not overly focus on the bright, new, shiny object, you know? To make sure that you're still keeping your eye on the ball when it comes to quality for your oatmeal stout,
yeah.
for your Great Northern Porter, for your extra pale ale.
Yeah.
And then the part of the balance is, and then also working on developing maybe a couple of new beers and executing at a high level.
Yes.
So taking care of the due diligence in advance, whether it's, you know, vetting ingredients or doing some small scale batches.
Yeah.
And then working with, you know, the folks at the retail level, the wholesale level. And
man.
There's a lot that goes into it. When Guinness produce a brand new beer, they have a couple of advantages over someone like someone. One, they've obviously got the resources.
Yeah,
they've got a few quid back there they can spend.
They can tell it.
But they can also go back in time and dig through the recipe books from 1780 or 1825 or 1910 or 1942, and they can literally drag something out that there might not be anyone alive that's ever even heard of this beer before.
Yeah.
So when you have that historical basis to dig into, that gives them, in many ways, a huge library that they can go back into. Guinness made pale ale once. They made Dublin ale once. Most people never even heard of any of these beers, but they did make them, and they're in that vault, essentially, that they can go into and pull from. If we're a craft brewer, maybe we'll come at it from a different perspective. Maybe we'll make a style that is either underrepresented in the marketplace or something that we think is a good fit for the brewery. Or we've got great relationships with our maltsters and our hop suppliers.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some fun new hops that we want to take a look at for a project. So, the key is, Rob, is you, too many folks will just throw a shite at the wall and pray it sticks. It's not innovation. It's gambling. And one thing that I will never allow is for our brewery to make our customers pay for our learning curve or make them pay for our mistakes. That should never happen. So when that beer hits the trade, it should be a pretty solid, well-rounded beer that's gone through a certain process to get there in the first place.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
that's the approach to quality and consistency that's really kept the brewery moving forward and allowed us to build up that reputation. And we have to do whatever we need to enhance and ensure that reputation is maintained long-term.
Yeah, because, I mean, I won't say names, but out of learning your diplomacy. But, I mean, I've seen a few breweries, microbreweries in the cities come out that I was really pumped about. And unfortunately, kind of maybe same things. They were sending out beers that people were getting, and it was like off beers. And like, well, we're so small, we have to sell these. And then it just snowballs and you lose.
And some of those folks are in a tough spot because they are relying on selling those beers, right? They might not be in a position where they can dump the tank and start again. There's so much money invested.
Yeah.
And I understand that. The challenge there, though, is they won't be able to really build up a reputation for quality and consistency. And you should never be afraid to dump a tank of beer if it's not hitting your marks, right? If you're not hitting the specifications or the sensory's not right. You try to do everything in your power to avoid that happening in the first place.
Yeah.
But a good brewery, whether it's a Guinness or a Summit, if it comes to it, that beer will get the boot. And you always learn from that too, right? Again, you know, the brewer is learning, okay, maybe we had an issue somewhere along the line with an ingredient or process. We'll figure that out and we'll ensure it doesn't happen in the future. But we're not letting the consumer... Well, not letting, you know, Rob down at Dublin or pub pay for that mistake.
The mistakes.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's part of the philosophical approach to making beer that, you know, that really is important to me and our founder, Mark Stutrithen. That goes back to those legacy craft brewers all those years ago when they got into the game. And it's been the case in classical European brewing for centuries.
Oh. Man, everything you're saying is like totally in my mind going in and then filtering and thinking about how it's all the same with music. It's like, I think the biggest, like when thinking about how in the conversations I've been a part of, think about the future and staying true to like staying hip, I guess is a word I'm thinking of. Staying like cool and relevant maybe is another word I think of. You know, it's easy to start thinking in binary terms. Well, that means I got to change my sound. I got to be like this. It's almost like a binary, well, I can be myself or I can be relevant. And when you're saying this, it's like, well, it doesn't have to be that way. You can experiment in these ways and still be yourself and find out what works within your voice of brewing or music or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Mozart's still hip.
Yeah.
Robert Johnson is still hip.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin are still hip. So, you know, there's a timeless element.
Yes,
to,
the timeless,
to,
yes.
To, you know, music, but there's also a really timeless element to a beer like Guinness. It's mm-hmm. been around for hundreds of years. There's a timeless yes. element to a brewery like Summit.
Yeah.
And it goes back to that philosophical approach that underlines what those breweries do and
yeah.
how they approach making beer. And,
yeah.
We have to try and remember that. We can't yeah. lose sight of that as a brewery, but as an industry.
Yeah.
You know, as craft brewers, yes. as legacy craft brewers, we have to remember that and always have that in the back of our mind when we're approaching whether it's new beers to come out with or looking after existing beers.
Yes.
And having that conversation with, you know, the folks down at the Dubliner to make sure they're moving the kegs through at a good flow. You know, that they're cleaning their glassware. So it's all linked together.
Yes.
That's what we have to understand, Rob.
You saying that makes me think, like, I want to be a legacy craft bass player.
Rob Morgan is an internationally touring bassist on a journey to discover what it means to live a curious life. At thecuriouspod.com, you'll find an archive of conversations recorded all over the world, a map of recording locations, a weekly newsletter, and official podcast merchandise. Rob is recording a daily podcast where he's sharing insights into the creative journey and the secrets to living a curious life that he's discovered from over a decade of traveling the world with music. We here at Curious Endeavors have told him this is probably a mistake and he's an idiot to attempt it, but he won't budge, so that's where we're currently at. We hope you'll enjoy.